support from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Bursting borders. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. The pandemic-era border policy called Title 42 is no more. That means communities nationwide are bracing for an influx of illegal immigrants.
We're seeing an invasion at our southern border. We already have the worst illegal immigration in the history of our country. Joe Biden, this is your fault.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz blasting the White House for the crisis at the border. This congresswoman says if you don't have a border, you don't have a country.
We must seal and secure our border, put back in policies that just make sense and that keep Americans safe.
With Title 42 now officially over with, many migrants are now trying to figure out what next.
This is scary. It's very difficult because no have food, no have water.
It's really hard because we are hungry.
Correspondent John Little traveled with a group of migrants to the border from central Mexico.
They've come too far to turn back, and they're too desperate to leave this area between Mexico and hope. But they say they'll wait days, weeks, whatever it takes to cross the finish line.
Texas border czar Mike Banks.
Until there's a consequence for actions for someone in this country illegally, they're going to continue to come.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
We are operating within the constraints of a broken immigration system. Our system has been broken for more than two decades.
Several counties in this country have declared states of emergency due to the housing crisis that will result as a result of tens of thousands now seeking refuge inside of America.
I understand that everybody wants a better future, but they're taking everything from us.
There's nowhere else for these refugees to go.
From Denver to Chicago to the streets of New York, the flood of new arrivals is well underway. Correspondent Tom Yamas continues our coverage from El Paso.
Look, no one expected the transition from Title 42 to now to be smooth, but what's happening in places like El Paso where we are is a mess. You have migrants being processed, then being released, in some cases without court dates. Cities across the country are fed up because their shelters are full. In El Paso, they are still sleeping on the ground outside of churches. All of this as tens of thousands are still trying to come into the U.S.
President Biden's plan to manage the crisis has been dealt a blow in court. A judge in Florida has blocked the White House from releasing migrants into this country without court dates and no way to track them. A judge in Virginia has ruled that banning guns to anyone under 21 is unconstitutional. That judge says the U.S. government cannot bar 18 to 20-year-olds from purchasing firearms from licensed dealers. The Justice Department plans to appeal. A 24-year-old former Marine surrendered to police today to face manslaughter charges for the chokehold death of a homeless man on a New York City subway. Legal scholar Leo Terrell.
This is a racially charged prosecution. It's because the defendant is black and the Marine is white. And the individuals who assisted this Marine were people of color. So I think this case is going to go nowhere, but the motivation is based on race.
Daniel Penny facing up to 15 years if convicted. He held a mentally unstable man in a chokehold for 15 minutes on a subway last week after that man began threatening passengers. Nearly a dozen tornadoes touched down last night in Oklahoma.
On the ground, on the ground, on the ground, on the ground.
Video shows a tornado on the ground last night in Goldsby, Oklahoma. It was one of at least 10 tornadoes to strike the state.
It is still on the ground.
Once the storm passed, crews started cleaning up downed trees and debris. The powerful winds peeled back siding and ripped the roofs off homes and businesses. In the aftermath, neighbors were helping neighbors.
Roxana Saberi with that report. The drought is over with in California, and now the concern is flooding.
Acre after acre, more than 150,000 in all, swamped. For so many crops, a total loss.
It's going to hurt.
Nader Malikin is a pistachio farmer.
What's the value on that pain?
$15 million, probably right here.
The estimated damage from the floods, $1 billion so far. One of California's largest snowpacks on record is starting to melt. Forecasters say rising temperatures in the coming weeks could prove catastrophic.
Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti, President Biden has signed another executive order on climate change. This one forces fossil fuel-based power plants to slash their greenhouse gas emissions by 90% over the next decade and a half.
We're already struggling with high energy prices because of Joe Biden, and so he's going to push through this executive mandate like he has coming after nearly every appliance in our house over the last 6 months, because he knows something as crazy as this won't make it through Congress.
Energy expert Larry Barron.
It empowers our adversaries when we undermine American energy. We've seen it with oil. Now he's trying to do it with our electricity, and Americans aren't happy about it.
The new rule change expected to increase electricity rates by 2% and natural gas prices by 9% by the start of the next decade. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a series of education reforms that increase teacher pay, block union dues, and prevent students from using social media at school. Education activist Keisha King says these reforms will also target indoctrination in the classroom.
This happened to my own daughter where she was in a history class and a student asked, "What is communism?" And the teacher actually said, "It's just sharing land."
Florida already has a parental rights in education law that forces schools to adopt age-appropriate learning standards when it comes to discussions on sexuality. A heads up for fitness buffs.
Peloton, give it up for our first time.
The Consumer Product Safety Commission recalling more than 2 million Peloton exercise bikes. The seats can break loose while in use. A dozen injuries have been reported. Astronomers have identified a cosmic explosion 100 times the size of our solar system. It's the biggest cosmic explosion ever observed and apparently started in a galaxy far, far away more than 3 years ago. That blast caused by a vast cloud of gas being swallowed up by a massive black hole. It happened nearly 8 billion light years from Earth. Still to come on the Noon Report, Buffalo remembers 1 year later, four-day work weeks and robot research in Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams. A nice warm afternoon underway. It turns cooler for the weekend, but it ends up ultimately sunny. Forecast details are coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right, see you then. Thank you, Kevin. Let's check the stories making news where you live next. The 125th Lilac Festival is underway in the flower city that is Rochester, New York. This 10-day affair is New York's largest free festival. More than 500,000 people expected to flock to Highland Park to enjoy some delicious food, great music, and of course, breathtakingly beautiful lilacs. More than 500 variations of lilacs will be on display through next Sunday. This Sunday marks the one-year anniversary of the Top Supermarket massacre in Buffalo. Special events are planned all weekend in the Queen City to remember the 10 lives lost in that racially motivated shooting. A prayer service was held at the scene of the crime yesterday.
Father, we thank you for the lives they live, how they touched our hearts, the impact they made in this city. Yes. They will never be forgotten.
Faith leaders gathered at the Tops on Jefferson Avenue to honor the victims, their families, Tops employees, and shoppers whose lives were forever changed May 14th, 2022.
We can make a difference. We are the community of good neighbors, are we not?
Meantime, New York's Attorney General Tish James is suing a gun parts supplier for its role in the shooting spree. She says Mean Arms is guilty of violating a state law that bans high-capacity magazines on rifles.
We are holding them responsible for the carnage that resulted on that day.
The gunman, Peyton Gendron, was able to remove a lock on his rifle and replace it with a 30-round magazine. He's been sentenced to life, but could get the death penalty if convicted of hate crimes charges. Ithaca, New York is doing away with plans to do away with its police department. The mayor says while she supports progressive policing, the Ithaca Police Department will continue to be led by a police chief, and Ithaca police officers will continue to be called police officers. They will not lose their jobs or rank. A couple years ago, Ithaca launched a first-in-the-nation effort to abolish its police department, leading to chaos within that department. Dozens of illegal immigrants have arrived at a hotel in Orange County, New York, much to the chagrin of the county executive.
Asylum seekers arrived Thursday at the Crossroads Hotel in Newburgh as part of New York City's temporary migrant relocation program. Orange County Executive Steve Newhouse, not happy about it.
It's a complete mess. And the government has not been forthright and honest with us. We were misled by the city of New York.
Meanwhile, Rockland County was granted a temporary restraining order against New York City's plan to send hundreds of migrants to a hotel in Orangeburg. Mayor Eric Adams says he'll continue to fight legal hurdles in an effort to send migrants to the Hudson Valley.
Scott Pringle reporting. Governor Hochul's executive order that allows nurses from other states to practice in New York will end a week from Monday. Assembly Health Committee Chairwoman Amy Paulin is prioritizing legislation in the final weeks of the legislative session that would allow nurses from other states to practice in New York.
If there's no executive order and no legislation passed, we are going to have a problem.
Paulin says the ongoing staffing crisis requires the governor's action in order to prevent drastic cuts in nursing services at healthcare facilities. A national teacher shortage impacting special education classes in Erie County, New York.
Something has to be done to encourage individuals to come back to the education field.
The ARC of Erie County unable to offer placement for 28 special needs students. Lindsay Michaels has taught special education for over 20 years in that county and did not get a single pay raise for more than a decade.
You have troubling days, frustrating days, your pocket's a little empty. But the kids fill my heart.
She says not only are new recruits hard to find, but experienced teachers are leaving the profession due to low pay. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand wants free meals for children at school, regardless of income. The Universal School Meals Program will provide breakfast, lunch, dinner, and even snacks. It also expands access to free meals during the summer months. One in six New York children face hunger on a daily basis. Four-day work weeks may boost Pennsylvania's efforts to recruit and retain young workers. Family Life's Mark Webster has that story.
Yeah, a pilot program is underway in Pennsylvania for interested employers who are willing to transition their staff to a 32-hour weekly work schedule without a reduction in pay or benefits. In turn, qualifying companies would get a tax credit. Employers need to have no fewer than 30 workers and no more than 50 and agree to a four-day work week for at least 1 year. Mark Webster, Family Life News.
Thank you, Mark. Only one in five American workers trust their leadership at work. Here's Michael Kastner.
A new Gallup study shows just 21% of workers in the U.S. strongly agree that they trust the leaders of their organization, compared to 24% in 2019. Gallup's data shows that employers need to improve communication, inspire confidence in workers' futures, and embrace change to have more employees trust in them. I'm Michael Kastner.
Carnegie Mellon University in Pennsylvania is getting $20 million over the next 5 years to establish an artificial intelligence institute. Doing a little robot research, they are. Its purpose is to look for ways to use AI to deal with public health and natural disaster situations. The AI Institute for Societal Decision Making will take a human-centric approach toward artificial intelligence. It's here, folks. Get used to it. Let's pause next. Check out your Friday sports.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, the Philadelphia 76ers could not get it done on their home court last night. The Boston Celtics marched into town and knocked off Philly to force a game seven. Marcus Smart led Boston with 22 points. Jason Tatum scored 16 of his 19 points in the fourth quarter to help secure the 95-86 win. Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey both scored 26 for Philly. Game seven, Sunday in Boston. The Denver Nuggets did finish off their series with Phoenix, routing them 125-100. Denver into the Western Conference Finals. On the ice, Carolina grabbed a 3-2 lead with an overtime 3-2 victory over New Jersey. And the Stars beat the Kraken 5-2. Dallas now up 3-2. To baseball, in the Bronx, the Rays dominated the Yankees as Drew Rasmussen only gave up a couple of hits and struck out 7 over 7 innings. Josh Lowe provided plenty of run support, hitting a 2-run home run and driving in 5. Tampa Bay, the first team to reach 30 wins in the season after their 8-2 victory. Texas shut out Oakland 4-0. Kansas City edged the White Sox 4-3. Over in the National League, it was all Cincinnati as the Reds shut out the Mets to win the rubber game of their series. 5-0 the final. In Phoenix, it was the Cobb-Schmidt show as Alex Cobb went 7 1/3 innings, didn't give up any runs, and rookie Casey Schmidt walloped a 443-foot home run, also had an RBI double and collected 2 other hits. The rookie now 8-for-12 with 2 home runs and 4 RBIs through 3 games. The one interleague game saw the Twins down the Padres 5-3. That is a look at sports.
Thank you, Randy. Man, still to come on the Noon Report, the Capital Connection crew ready to sound off on the issues in the news from Albany and Harrisburg. Kevin Williams says you'll like that Mother's Day weekend forecast. And speaking of Mother's Day, we're going to take a closer look at the history of the holiday right after this.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Recently, an article in Nautilus magazine touted the benefits of play. Authors Susan Maximin and Ivy Ross conclude, quote, play is universal to our species, and when humans play, it positively influences both their cognitive development and their emotional well-being. But today's kids aren't playing as much. Instead, the generation of human beings with more leisure time than any other moment in history is spending it looking at screens. Recently, media theorist Andre Meir offered this blunt conclusion in an article in the City Journal, quote, screen time is stolen time. He then went on to describe what a day in the life of a kid looks like today. Screen time reaches 2 hours and 45 minutes between the ages of 2 and 8, 4 hours and 45 minutes between the ages of 8 and 12, and an astonishing 7 hours and 15 minutes between the ages of 13 and 18. Screens have also contributed heavily to today's mental health crisis for young people, as well as to what sociologist Jonathan Haidt has called the loss of a play-based childhood. Haidt points to Boston College psychologist Peter Gray, who has argued for the significance of play. Quote, free play is the means by which children learn to make friends, overcome their fears, solve their problems, generally take control of their own lives. Nothing we do, no amount of toys we buy or quality time or special training we give our children can compensate for the freedom we take away. The things that children learn through their own initiatives and free play cannot be taught in other ways. Now, ironically, many parents have taken away the freedom that children should have to play with peers and interact with the natural world out of a fear for their safety while providing nearly limitless freedom on digital devices. In that world, mistakes are fixed with a reset. Disputes with friends and neighbors can be largely ignored or avoided. Thus, many students then buckle under the strain of having to deal with these things as young adults. Years ago, theologian O.M. Backe published a book entitled When Children Became People, The Birth of Childhood in Early Christianity. In it, Backe noted the idea of children as fully human with infinite value and inalienable rights was in fact a distinctly Christian invention. In the ancient world, children were often beaten, ignored, left to die, sexualized with alarming regularity. However, this all changed because of Christians who adopted unwanted children, condemned their sexualization, and embraced their God-given role as parents because they saw children as fully human, made in the image and likeness of God. For example, Backe quoted the charge given by 5th century church father John Chrysostom, quote, let everything take second place to our care for our children, our bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ponder deeply how you can teach your child to think lightly of this life's passing glories. Thus, he will become truly renowned and glorious, end quote. And of course, Jesus did command his disciples to let the little children come to me. He also issued a dire warning to anyone who'd cause a child to stumble. Because of Christians, the idea of childhood came into existence. Protecting play may seem like an insignificant way for us to take our place in this particular aspect of the Christian story, but play reveals a part of who God made us to be. This is especially true for children. Play also points us to the generous, joyful heart of God. Or as G.K. Chesterton once quipped, quote, It may be that God has an eternal appetite for infancy, for we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street.
It's the weekend. Kevin Williams next.
Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Warm, partly to mostly sunny. High temperatures mid-70s to the middle 80s. Tonight, patchy clouds, maybe a brief shower, low temps, mild 50s. For tomorrow, in New York State, becoming mostly sunny, cooler, high temps, low 70s. In Pennsylvania tomorrow, morning clouds, couple of showers, especially south of I-80. Then some sun, high temps, mid-60s to mid-70s. And Sunday, Mother's Day, mostly sunny, pleasantly cooler, with high temperatures primarily in the 60s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. It's Friday, folks, the 12th of May, and you're listening to the Noon Report on Family Life. And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are, as always, Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. A lot of wheeling and dealing in Harrisburg these days, Michael. Governor Shapiro making the rounds, selling the fine prints of the budget blueprint that he hopes to get passed by the end of next month. When you look at what the biggest holdups are to this year's budget battle, what would you say those are?
Well, there's still a lot of fog and kind of smoke coming from the Capitol in terms of determining ultimately whether this budget is going to pass on time. There are a number of issues that are still kind of hanging in the balance. I guess I'd say number one is education spending. Other issues, you know, he's got marijuana in his budget in terms of revenue coming from that, but that's not legal in Pennsylvania, so whether he's going to be pushing for that could result in some contentiousness.
All right, could be a long summer at the state capitol. Well, Jason, New York already has a budget, so why are lawmakers still hanging around Albany? They will adjourn next month. You've said on this program many times that this is the time of the legislative session that concerns you the most, because this is the time when they tend to tackle more of those controversial social issues. What are you keeping your eye on from now through the middle of June?
Yeah, I think at the top of the list, we're watching the issue of assisted suicide. There does seem to be a greater internal push to move that assisted suicide legislation, and so we will be working to block that at the committee level. We're also seeing various pushes against parental rights, things that would allow children to be treated for various sexually transmitted diseases or receive vaccinations without parental consent. So we're watching parental rights issues, life issues, you know, abortion issues continue to move in the Capitol, things that didn't make it in the budget, so we have to keep our eyes on it.
All right. Well, Michael, Pennsylvania's advancing bipartisan legislation that would require parental consent for minors to have social media. Do you support this legislation?
Yeah, it's a good-looking piece of legislation. It would require consent from a parent or legal guardian for anyone under 16 to open social media accounts, prohibit data mining for anyone under 18, and other things. It's a positive piece of legislation. The fact that it's bipartisan means maybe it has legs.
Yeah. Governor Hochul declaring a state of emergency this week, Jason, due to the influx of asylum seekers now that Title 42 is no more. Should local counties have the right to refuse migrants entry? And what are the biggest concerns you have about this mass migration that continues?
Well, you know, the nation doesn't have control over its own borders. It doesn't have control over its sovereignty. That being said, we're facing some major problems here in New York, because we have cities like New York City, Ithaca, and others that view themselves as sanctuary cities for those that are coming here illegally. New York City, for example, is receiving over $1 billion, that's billion with a B, from this year's state budget for the number of illegal immigrants that have already arrived in New York City. That's only going to exponentially grow across the state, but the dollars will not be available for every county like they were for New York City in this year's budget. That is going to break the backs of many county governments. Budgets.
Yeah, I know it's causing some problems between those counties, Rensselaer, Orange, and Westchester among them, are saying, hey, New York City migrants, you're not welcome here. We'll see how that goes. Michael, you mentioned education being a big holdup to the budget in Harrisburg. School choice was a big issue as well. There was a huge rally earlier this week in support of school choice. Do you support lifting the cap on charters, and do you think it's time to end the lottery system for private education?
Well, the big sort of marker to see whether or not something is a good idea is what sort of demand there is for it. And when we look at the issue of school choice, the demand far exceeds the supply. We do support expansion of charter schools for opportunities for children to attend those schools and to get out of this lottery system so that those who want to have a choice other than the public schools, they will have that choice supported as the money follows the child. Ultimately, that's where we would like to see school choice go in Pennsylvania.
Gotcha. Jason, we talked a little bit this week about the Birth Control Access Act. That takes effect next year in New York. Pharmacists are going to be able to dispense abortifacients. No questions asked, no age restrictions, no parental consent required. I know you're very concerned with this. What are going to be the ramifications of this over-the-counter access of abortifacients?
You know, many people expect us to be opposed to this, and we are. But, you know, I think I would point to folks over at the FDA that have also raised concerns over this over-the-counter contraception. So it's not just our organization that has opposition to this. It's the FDA that is raising questions. There are a lot of concerns over what the impact of this will be for young women in our state. And I think that's what we really ought to be paying attention to, is not political ideology, but medicine is supposed to be about what will help or hurt. And in this case, we believe this over-the-counter prescriptions will be more hurtful than helpful.
Yeah. Well, next week is primary day, Pennsylvania, Tuesday, May 16th. A lot at stake, Michael. What are you watching as people get ready for primary day in Pennsylvania?
Well, there's a whole slew of races in this election season. It's called an off-year election, an off-year primary in this case. So we don't have the congressional races or the big statewide races in terms of Senate or governor. What we do have is judicial elections and also county commissioners. We have school board races. All of these are very important because they impact the day-to-day lives of Pennsylvanians. So a lot of people sort of sleep through these primaries and these general elections in these off years, but they shouldn't be doing that. That's why we've produced a voter's guide at PAFamilyVoter.com so people can find out about these candidates and do their duty and vote on primary and general election days.
Yeah, Jason, Tuesday is also school budget day in New York, and that, as Michael's saying, less than 10% of eligible voters will show up and vote in their local school board elections, which is so sad. Why are you encouraging even people who homeschool show up at the polls on Tuesday and vote?
Well, I'm a huge supporter of school choice. You know, my kids attend private Christian school. We homeschooled for a number of years as well. But I recognize the fact that there will always be more kids in public school than private school options. So I think there is a vested interest that we as believers have to have in what's occurring in the public school system. I'm also a taxpayer. And so even if my kids are homeschooled or in private school, I have an interest because I'm paying those taxes. We ought to be involved and we ought to be concerned about what's going on in those districts. And if Christians aren't going to be involved, well, we can only expect the education system to get worse, not better.
Yeah. Finally, Michael, 10 years ago tomorrow, the worst serial killer in U.S. history was convicted in a Philadelphia courtroom. And sad to say, probably not many people know who this person was. Former abortionist Dr. Kermit Gosnell. 10 years later, you're going to be talking about this. You're calling it the Gosnell effect. Explain, if you would, what's going to be happening on Saturday.
Yeah, well, we've been trying to spread the word to folks all across Pennsylvania to not forget Kermit Gosnell and not forget what happened there. Basically, the government turning a blind eye towards the abortion industry, which, again, many politicians are advocating, again, to let them just have free reign. But what happens when that happens is what happened with Kermit Gosnell, which is countless babies that were born alive and then killed in a gruesome procedure he called snipping. Also, women dying at his clinic. And again, this happened because the state was not regulating the abortion industry. We don't think there should be abortion at all. We think every human life is precious. But as long as it remains legal here in Pennsylvania, there should be very watchful eyes to keep Kermit Gosnell from happening again.
And the abortion issue will come up, I'm sure, Jason, at your Legislative Day event, which is less than 2 weeks away. Can't believe it. Tuesday, May 23rd. And I know you're excited because the first time in 3 years, it's going to be in person there at the state capitol. What difference does it make for people
to show up in a deep blue state like New York, take a day away from whatever else they got going on and be there. What do you hope to accomplish that day?
Well, two things. We've learned that you're going to lose every battle that you don't show up for. But if you show up, you can win some battles. That's true even in deep blue states like New York. We've had some victories over the years. We've been beaten back, for example, this assisted suicide we talked about for many years. And I believe we'll continue to do so. And so it's important that people show up so we can continue to demonstrate to legislators that we're active, that we're involved, that we want to make a difference in our state. They do pay attention to that. Second, it matters to the individual, because so often we feel like we're alone in the values that we hold. And coming together at the state capitol, gathered with, you know, hundreds of people who share the values that you do, it reminds you that you're not alone, that there are still 7,000 that have not yet bowed the knee to Baal in the Empire State.
All right. Showing up and doing the work. That's what Jason McGuire does every day. We're honored to partner with you at that event. Folks who want to get registered, do it now. Jason, where can people do that?
You'll find registration information at albanyupdate.com.
10 years later, Dr. Kermit Gosnell, why does it matter? Why keep talking about this? Michael, you have a wonderful article on your website as well. Where can folks read that?
PAfamily.org.
Thank you, gentlemen. Capital Connection, the name of the program, comes your way Fridays during the Noon Report or online at familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A warm day underway across all of our region. A cold front dropping in from the north, though, will change that heading into the weekend. That front will bring a couple of showers, most notably late tonight, early tomorrow in parts of Pennsylvania. And then clearing skies and cooler air will follow the front's passage. Forecast for this afternoon, warm, partly to mostly sunny. High temperatures mid-70s to the middle 80s. Tonight, patchy clouds, maybe a brief shower, low temps, mild 50s. For tomorrow, in New York State, becoming mostly sunny, cooler, high temps, low 70s. In Pennsylvania tomorrow, morning clouds, couple of showers, especially south of I-80. Then some sun, high temps, mid-60s to mid-70s. And Sunday, Mother's Day, mostly sunny, pleasantly cooler, with high temperatures primarily in the 60s.
All right, we'll take it. Thank you, Kevin. Speaking of Mother's Day, where in the world did that holiday come from anyway? Well, Family Life's Greg Gillespie's been doing a little investigating for us. He says Mom's Day can trace its roots back to a time before the Civil War.
West Virginian Ann Reeves Jarvis helped start Mother's Day work clubs to teach local women how to properly care for their children. Jarvis organized Mother's Friendship Day as former Union and Confederate soldiers were gathered by moms. Her daughter, by the same name, continued her mother's work as a way of honoring the sacrifices mothers made for their children. She organized the first official Mother's Day celebration at a Methodist church in Grafton, West Virginia, with the financial backing of John Wanamaker, the owner of a Pennsylvania department store. In the following few years, many churches, states, and towns adopted Mother's Day, and it became a part of the American calendar when President Wilson signed a presidential proclamation in 1914. In the later years of her life, the second generation Anna Jarvis fought against Mother's Day, saying it had become too commercialized. Greg Gillespie, Family Life News.
And there you have it, the history of the holiday. Thank you, Greg, and from all of us at Family Life, happy Mom's Day to all you moms out there, and you know who you are. That's our world. Friday, the 12th of May. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.